Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
God needs man, and for this, God calls man. The question is, what is it that man can do to assist God in his move? What is it that God is looking for man to carry out his move? Part of the answer can be seen by understanding the types and pictures in the Old Testament book of Exodus. And for the past several months, we've had that enjoyment, that privilege, and that pleasure. And today, we come nearly to the conclusion of this life study of Exodus, a classic life study, and Dick Taylor has joined us again for one of our final programs in Exodus. I'm glad that you're here, Brother Dick.
I am too, Chris.
Well, Dick, we're in our final chapter of Exodus today, chapter 40. And this chapter reinforces something that we've touched on a few occasions during this life study. And that is that as God gave the plan for the tabernacle and the furnishings and the priestly service in Exodus to Moses on Mount Sinai, he begins with the Ark of the Testimony in the center place of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And then he reveals item by item, ultimately working his way out to the altar of burnt offering in the outer court that we know represents the cross of Jesus Christ in typology. But man approaches the tabernacle from the other side and first meets the altar with the goal, eventually, of being ushered into the Holy of Holies. Dick, these two directions are presented throughout the Bible, aren't they? Not just here in Exodus.
They really are, Chris. It's good to be brought to God's heart's desire, and that's what Exodus does. By presenting the Ark of the Testimony first, we see what's on God's heart, and that is His testimony. So we need to pay attention to that side. God's heart is on this side. We also see from our angle our need of salvation.
Right.
And both of these sides are presented in many places. For example, in Romans, you see our side.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 1, you see the fall of man and a tremendous list of sinful things and how sinful man has become. Even in chapter 2, the experience of condemnation. But by chapter 3, you see Christ as the one who justifies man before God through his marvelous death on the cross. And this brings us to Christ as the reality of the altar of burnt offering.
Right.
So in Romans, you see man's side and man's need of salvation. But the central point of Romans is God's making sinners into sons through his marvelous salvation. For the body of Christ, eventually expressed in oneness through many local churches all over the earth. So Romans begins from man's direction or man's end, but with God's heart's desire as the goal.
Right.
But Ephesians, on the other hand, for example, in chapter 1, begins from the other direction. Ephesians 1 shows us a marvelous revelation of Christ himself, who is the reality of the Ark of the Testimony. And by seeing this marvelous Christ, we become the church, which is the increase of this Christ to be the tabernacle of the testimony. But in Ephesians, you see God's heart's desire again, just like in Exodus. The view from Exodus is firstly on this piece of furniture, the Ark of the Testimony, because God's heart's desire is to gain an expression of himself in and through Christ with his people. Now, Ephesians, you see the same thing again. So in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we see Christ as the Ark of the Testimony, with his people as the enlargement of this testimony to be the church. But if you look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, you see another view again.
Right.
Because Ephesians 2:1 begins with man in the pit, just fallen and sinful and dead. But by the time you get to the end of chapter 2, there's two marvelous verses, Chris, in 2:21 and 22, it says, "In whom all the building grows together into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being builded together into a dwelling place of God in spirit." So chapter 2 comes from the angle of man's salvation and man's need, but eventually ends up with God's goal and heart's desire and his aim, which is his building, his dwelling place for his expression. So chapter 1 brings us to the same view as Exodus, but it doesn't neglect the fact that there's also the other side. Man has a need. So these two directions are noticeable through the whole Scripture in many, many places. And I'd say Romans and Ephesians are probably the clearest.
Yeah. And it's very fitting that we conclude Exodus seeing both God's heart's desire and man's need all are met in the one picture, the tabernacle. That's what we're going to look at in our life study message today from Witness Lee. So let's join him now.
One thing I like to stress very much, the ark of testimony. This is, no doubt, from God's end, from the end in the heavens. Then, according to our experience, surely we begin from our end, from the altar of the burnt offering. Then we proceed onward and onward until we reach at the ark. The ark is there. In this book, Ephesians, it doesn't begin from our end, proceeding to God's end. No, it begins from God's end toward our end. And God is in the heavens, and we are on the earth. And how could God reach us? Even for God to reach us, it's not a small thing, it's not an easy thing. We may think, well, God is sovereign, God is almighty, God can do everything what he likes. Don't forget, God is a God of law, of regulation. He is not a lawless God. He cannot do things against his nature, and he cannot do things against his righteous way. For him to reach man, it has to be done in the way that fits in his holiness and that corresponds with his righteousness. So for him to come to reach us, there is the need of a lot of doings from the ark to reach at the altar. You can see all these turns. Within the tabernacle, you have to turn. God's intention is to have what? The ark. And the ark is the ark of testimony. That makes the tabernacle of testimony. This is what God wants. In our consideration, what we want is just our salvation. We don't have any kind of idea, any kind of consideration about God's testimony. God's testimony is at the ark, and our salvation is at the altar. The last book of the Bible is for the testimony of Jesus. No human mentality can compose such a book. Eventually, we come to the end of the 66 books. We have a book of testimony of Jesus. And this is the ark of God. This book consummates in the tabernacle. That will be the new Jerusalem, which is God's eternal goal, and which will last forever.
Dick, this is interesting. At one end of the tabernacle, we've talked about before, there's the altar of burnt offering, and at the other end, within the Holy of Holies, the ark of the testimony. I think it's fair to say, Dick, that many Christians today have a gospel that only has an altar. There's no tabernacle, no holy place, and certainly no ark of testimony in the Holy of Holies. Do you think it's too much to make this statement, Dick?
I believe it's pretty accurate, and that's why we're so grateful to the Lord for this ministry and these life studies to open up God's heart's desire and to show us there's much more of the experience of Christ than just the experience typified by the burnt offering altar. And like you said, wow, many are missing even the table with the bread. What a wonderful thing to see that Christ wants to be enjoyed as the bread of life. And why do we enjoy him? Why do we eat him? Why do we partake of him? It's to go on in the tabernacle, to eventually make us one with him, and even the same as him in life and nature, for his testimony. It's to bring us all the way into God in the Holy of Holies. God's built it into us. We're built it into him through such a marvelous enjoyment of one another. But when you get to the Holy of Holies, you have the Ark of the Testimony. The problem that most Christians face is that they don't want any more than just their salvation because they don't see any more than that. But this ministry has unlocked the view of God's economy, which is really the view of the Bible, to cause us to see not just our need of salvation, but God's need because he has a purpose, he has a heart's desire, he has a plan. And that is to gain a testimony of himself, firstly in his Son, and through all of us, by enjoying his Son as the bread of life, as the light of life, as the incense, and eventually as the hidden manna and the budding rod and the law of life, to make us the same as him for his testimony. So God's desire is we would enjoy Christ as the Ark of the Testimony, and this same Christ who is portrayed step by step and item by item in the tabernacle. So surely we can say, Chris, there's much more in the tabernacle than just the altar of burnt offering. There's so many items of furniture all bringing us step by step into more experience and enjoyment of Christ and leading us to the ultimate enjoyment of himself as the Ark of the Testimony. And this brings us to what's on God's heart. Not many Christians have the thought that God needs a testimony. They just have the thought that they need saved.
Right.
They need help.
Right.
But, oh, our God has a purpose. And you know what? When you see this, your whole Christian life changes. Your enjoyment and appreciation of Christ skyrockets sevenfold intensified. So may all of you who are listening pay attention to this view from the book of Exodus. God's view, that is of the Ark of Testimony, bringing us to God's heart's desire for a testimony and expression of himself.
And Dick, and certainly we don't mean this comment in any way a criticism. It's just an acknowledgement. And we ourselves, it's so easy to get focused on just our need, our desire to be saved, to go to heaven or whatever we perceive the result of that salvation, and lose sight altogether of God's purpose, God's goal, which is, as you've said, to draw us in step by step, ultimately to become his testimony, his expression as symbolized by the Ark of the Testimony.
That's true, and that's why this ministry has brought us into a recovery of the truth, because the first item of furniture that's really mentioned in Exodus is the Ark of the Testimony. So we must pay attention to God's view. He needs a testimony.
Well, Dick, we've mentioned that we're in chapter 40 today, the final chapter of Exodus. It's interesting how it begins. Let me read just the first two very short verses, and then we'll go back to Witness Lee. Verse 1, "Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall raise up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting." This is one of the verses, Dick, that we tend to sort of skim over when we read. But one of the things this ministry shows us again and again, nothing in God's word should be skimmed over. We're going to see this is a very meaningful point as well, aren't we?
We sure are.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
God gives the commandment to raise up, to erect the tabernacle on the first day of the first month of the second year. The first month of the first year was the time for the Passover. From the Passover to the erection of the tabernacle was just 1 year. There were two beginnings with God's people. The first beginning was the beginning with salvation, with Passover. And the second beginning of God's people's life was a beginning with God's dwelling place. This is a clear type. We all need the first beginning. The first is to have the Passover, to get saved. And then how about the second? What is it? God's dwelling place. When we have practically the experience of God's dwelling place in our Christian life, we have a second beginning. Now, what is the dwelling place of God today? The house of the living God. Amen. This is the second blessing, and this is the second beginning. What is here at the ending of Exodus? God's dwelling place, a tabernacle, taken and possessed by him in the way of glory. Then what is the end of the entire Bible? The same thing. You go to the last chapter of the entire Bible, you have the same record. There's a tabernacle taken and possessed by God, and the glory of God filled that tabernacle. The same kind of ending.
Dick, in chapter 40, verse 17, it says, "Thus Moses did, according to all that Jehovah had commanded him, so he did. And in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was raised up." This means, Dick, that the erection of the tabernacle took place exactly 1 year after the Passover. And each of these two events marked a kind of new beginning for God's people. What do these two beginnings represent for us, Dick? And do God's people still need to experience both of these beginnings?
Yes, God's people still need to experience both of these beginnings. I am so grateful to the Lord, Chris, that I've experienced both of these beginnings. The first beginning, related to the Passover, the first day of the first month of the first year, really signifies our being saved. But the second beginning, that is the first day of the first month of the second year, is when the building is erected for God's dwelling place and testimony. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that my salvation now has meaning. The salvation that we experience, signified by the Passover, has a goal. And the goal is God's dwelling place, his testimony. So we need both of these beginnings. And actually, without the second beginning, that is being brought into the revelation and the experience of God's building, then you really don't even know why you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to lose your motivation, to lose the joy, because you don't see the goal. If you don't know where you're going, your thought may be, well, I'm just forgiven, and someday when I die, I'll just go to heaven, and that's about it. But this is really superficial. What we need to see is God's heart's desire is his building. So, like 1 Timothy 3 says, the church is the house of the living God, and it's composed of all those who are enjoying the living Christ as their portion, to be his expansion and his increase for his expression. So the goal of our salvation is not just to save us from something negative, neither is it just in a superficial way just to place us somewhere after we die. No, God's goal is to bring us all the way into himself and himself all the way into us, to make us his increase, his enlargement, his expansion, for his expression and for his testimony. When you touch God's testimony, you touch the joy of the whole universe, because this is what's on his heart.
It's really the same point we talked about in our first time of fellowship, just seen from another perspective, using Exodus as the lens to view these two things: our salvation with the purpose and the direct aim of fulfilling and carrying out God's heart's desire.
That's right. And like I had mentioned, Ephesians 2,
yeah,
I'd like to mention it again because it's too clear.
Exactly.
It begins with our sinful situation, Christ coming to save us, but eventually by the end of Ephesians 2, what do you have? God's dwelling place, God's building for his testimony.
Well, we've got one section left of Witness Lee, and again, Dick, it's an interesting point, one that's easy to pass over in the divine record. All the points are so meaningful and so clear. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Amen.
The table of bread was put there in the holy place, and we know this is for feeding, for nourishing. And then, opposite to this, you have the lampstand for lightning and the salt. When these pieces were put in, you have the incense altar right at the center, close to the veil, for the priest to pray to God, to intercede for God's people. Right away, it tells us how the table was put in and how to arrange all the breads. And then when the lampstand was put in right away, it tells us how to light the lamp. when the altar of incense put in, then it tells us how to burn the incense there. This indicates that we shouldn't have a table of bread without bread. We shouldn't have a lampstand without light. And we shouldn't have an incense altar without incense. When the table of bread was made public, right away people saw the bread there. Then when the lampstand was put there, right away light rises up, it shines. Then when the incense altar was put there, right away the incense is burned upon it. This indicates, even today, we should have the reality of every atom. Yeah. Yeah. We shouldn't have a baptism yet without reality. We shouldn't have a Lord's table yet without the bread. We must have the reality to fill up the empty form.
Dick, this is a marvelous record. No table without bread, no lampstand without light, and no altar without incense. Dick, let's talk about the significance of how this good record is presented.
As you said, Chris, no table without bread, there's no lampstand without light, and there's no altar without incense. This means, related to our experience, if you don't have Christ, you really don't have the bread. If you don't have Christ, you really don't have the light of the lampstand. If you don't have Christ, you really don't have the incense of the incense altar. Christ is the reality of the showbread table. Christ is the reality of the lampstand with the light. And Christ is the reality of the incense altar with the incense. We need Christ. Christ is the one reality of all. May we all pray, Lord, make everything of this tabernacle with all the furniture real to me, and may I experience you as the reality of every item. You know, Chris, you could even get lost in the book of Exodus, but Exodus ends with a dwelling place of God as the testimony of God. Christ is the Ark of the Testimony, and eventually the tabernacle is the tabernacle of the testimony, just the enlargement of this marvelous Christ. So when you look at the book of Revelation, it's easy to get lost in that book and just come up with a lot of items, but miss Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And who is he? He's the Ark of the Testimony. He's the real testimony. And even John was on the island called Patmos because of the Word of God, which is Christ,
right,
and the testimony of Jesus, which is the reproduction of this Christ in the churches. Again, the whole point in Revelation is the testimony. So the Bible ends the same way Exodus ends. Exodus ends with God's dwelling place as the expansion of this Christ who's the Ark of Testimony, and so does the whole Bible, consummating eventually in the New Jerusalem, which is just Christ enlarged to the uttermost as God's eternal testimony.
Dick, let's close today just with a prayer that all of us, those who prepare these programs and those of you who listen to these programs, would be brought into the reality of all of these marvelous spiritual things we've seen unveiled in this life study of Exodus. We appreciate the knowledge, we appreciate the light, but oh, how the Lord needs us and how we need to enter into the genuine experience, the reality of all that we've seen of Christ typified in these items of the tabernacle.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dick.
You're welcome, Brother Chris.
Amen. And please join us again for Dick Taylor today. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.